secret weapon?
Philippians. We haven't been moving very rapidly through Philippians.
What do you attribute that to?
Dull.
How hard-headed is it?
Yeah.
I would quote Hebrews, but verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we spent a lot of time on that. Right? Everybody understand it?
Yeah, I always like the wherefores, which means everything he just said, therefore.
Well, we're not going to go reread that.
Well, I'm just making a comment.
All right. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There is nothing that can stop that working of God in you except you. Because the working of God in you is dependent on your recognition of one singular thing, the futility and emptiness of your efforts. And until you see that, there hasn't been true repentance. Because you do not yet know that Jesus Christ is in you, therefore you are reprobate, therefore incapable of repentance, because you can't possibly have true repentance. You can have worldly repentance, which is, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again, but you can't have godly repentance, which is repentance not to be repented of, because it's an abandoning of yourself. So repentance has as its primary predicate your death. Anything else is just goofy. Pitiful. I need Joe Santa here. Does everybody see that? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The only thing that stops him working in you is you. Sincerity doesn't help you one iota. Real interest or love or anything else doesn't stop him. I mean, doesn't it keeps him from working in you because of his humility.
That symbolic gesture. The raising of the hand just so pictures it perfectly to me. You surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender your will.
Surrender is one way of looking at it. You remember when it says the whole of everything is in Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the word present there is it's one step beyond surrender. It's yieldedness, perfect yieldedness. There's only emptiness. You're the empty vessel. So surrender is one way of looking at it, but you can surrender and be internally rebellious. In fact, you're admired for being internally rebellious if you surrender in the normal sense.
It's almost like prisoners, when they surrender and get put in prison camps, they're still required to try and escape.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. You escape at every opportunity. And the escaping is what you talked about last night. The escaping is called fainting. That you faint in your mind because you escape to the mountains of the whore. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He cannot work and will and do in you until you make room for him. You cannot sort of make a little bit of room. You have to have perfect yieldedness or emptiness or humility or abandonment.
This is interesting how the sentence before is work out your own salvation.
It's carry out. Carry. It means you, it's, remember we didn't, we said that word, it's you're carrying around like an empty box. It's mistranslation, but it means you're
to live it out.
Yeah, it means to live it out, but fundamentally it means that there's nothing you. You're not in the picture. Therefore, you're with Paul that you owe your mind and your emotions. You're not a debtor in any way to your thoughts or your ideas. But because of what he wants you to have fulfilled or filled up all of the possible rebellion. Because otherwise you'll just be an automaton. He wants you to have known experientially or by empathy that there is absolutely no possibility of a solution because you have extended that and pushed every barrier. You've expanded the pegs of your tent to the edge of time and space itself, and you found out for your own self or by empathy that there is no there. You have no capacity. You found out that every time you wanted to do good, the evil one was present with you. You found out that every one of your dreams and ambitions was only working to cause you to be in a total place of aloneness. You found out that every single solution that you had was stupid.
And that's all God's work, too, right? To bring you to repentance.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that isn't God's work, that's why how people justify their rebellion. And they say, well, that's God, too. Well, yeah, but would you rather? There's only birth and afterbirth.
I mean, it's purpose. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it has a great purpose.
So does crap. You can't in any way make it valuable in your mind. You can't look back and say, because if you look back and say, well, that was God too.
No, I'm talking about your pain. Example, it's God's purpose to keep you humble.
Yeah, but if I had any part in it, I wouldn't have any. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Correct. But in moments of clarity, you can admit, okay, I'm glad.
I understand, but you've got to understand me. All of it is God. Every knee is bowing, and every tongue is confessing. The problem is your knee isn't bowing, and one of these tongues up here isn't confessing. And it stops bowing and the tongue stops confessing when you have a solution or when you have an idea. You're in a place other than this supreme yieldedness. That's why it is witchcraft. That's what I was talking about last night, about if you try to create the reality with your words, that's sorcery. Does everybody understand this perfectly? And yet, you rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Well, because you see him. And Now wherever you look, it's Christ is all and in all. Wherever you look is the New Jerusalem. The Lord is not just at hand for you, or he's not just near, he's not coming back someday. He is your whole life. Because you've seen that everything else is empty. Nothing. Unless you've got some, maybe, now I don't like this any more than anybody else does, if from my personal standpoint. And so therefore, I encourage you to tell me, do you have some good idea? Do you have some good plan or some good thought? Share it with me. Is there something in here? Is there something in this Bible that's optional? Well, tell me about it. Then I'll throw the whole damn thing out. You can't believe the dream I had last night.
Did you remember it?
I remembered it. In fact, it woke me up. But I blamed Ronnie's television for waking me up. But I think it was Ronnie's television that woke me up. But I had just watched 60 Minutes, the last part of 60 Minutes, which was about...
Oh, God.
Which was about Howard Stern.
Oh, different show. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about that segment,
Dave. And it was Howard Stern. He just signed a 5-year contract for $500 million. For Sirius or whatever they call it. Sirius Radio. Satellite Radio. And I had a dream that I was hosting a show on Sirius Radio. Mm-hmm. On Satellite Radio. And it was just... Yeah, it was just terrible because everybody in the world wanted to kill me.
They wanted Howard not holy.
Did you have like hot babes come and
no.
hang out in your studio?
No, I just talk like I do.
That kind of stuff. Wow.
But anyway, I blamed it on Ronnie.
Was it scary?
No, it's just that
it
I did.
Makes me feel better to do that.
What?
Makes me feel better.
Blame
to do
things
that.
On Ronnie?
I blame everything on Ronnie. Well, most things on Ronnie. Ronnie or Pete?
Okay, can you, if we could do nothing more than get through verse 13 today, I would be so proud of everybody. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
That was very important when we studied that. You know, that hit me. You know, that God is, you know, it's not up to me. Figuring this out, making anything happen, or, you know, act the right way, or what? It's God doing it. And it's nature impact.
What? You're gelling again.
That verse deals with this thing that you get, this anxiety. The anxiety is there about whatever. When you get religious, then you get anxiety about
not being able
religious
to.
Stuff, you know. And then it's like, so am I doing it right? Am I making the right decision? Am I on the right track? You know. And if it's all him, then that anxiety can be gone. And it's,
yeah, because
that verse, really.
Right, and the Old Testament term for anxiety or anxiousness is fretting. And you don't fret about anything.
Fret not.
But I want to go back to our esteemed elder and find out what he's gelling about.
It was a bank shot. Same as John.
I'm not the esteemed elder.
that verse resides in me too. But I am challenged by it when I have no emotional attachment to God, or life seems unimportant in this area, or I'm disconnected or whatever, then it seems like it's not real.
And then what's your response to that?
Well, I really rejoice in that because I don't want any place in me where God is not real. So that's the place
Well, I know, but the only response to that, again, is that's just another signal for repentance.
Yeah.
He's emptying your crib of emotions, and your crib is the right word for it, because emotions are your baby talk.
Yeah, it's like a child needing to have emotional experiences for something to be real, and that's been my.
Let's go to Isaiah 26. Now again, this emptying process is total. Every idea of the way you think things should be, there is no more. Well, that's just the way it should be, damn it. Everybody knows it.
Ask anybody.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, that's why I keep telling you that if I pay any attention to my mind, I'd out Harry. In terms of, it's got to be this way and it's got to be that way. But your mind isn't going to ever stop trying to get you, because that's its job. But you internally, you know you owe it nothing. Oh, I'm so sad. Well, you poor little baby. What the hell are you sad about? Oh, I'm just depressed. Well, poor you.
There's a great song by Mick Jagger in this regard called...
Not you too.
Listen to him. don't shut down too quick. Sympathy for the Devil. I mean, it's the same concept. If you have sympathy for the devil, you know, your mind and its...
Okay, do me a favor. Never again use popular culture to prove scripture.
Especially 30, 40-year-old.
I will not do you that favor.
Thank you.
You can hear the knock.
Please, listen to what Isaiah says. Chapter 26. Verse 10. Let favor be shown to the wicked one. And that's what it really says. Yet let favor be shown to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not be able to behold the majesty of the Lord. The wicked one, the evil one, the instead of Christ, has to make his judgments by his emotions, by his senses, and by his templates. Therefore, he cannot see the land. He cannot see that the New Jerusalem came down on Pentecost, and it is now our overriding reality. He will always see exceptions in his private moments. He can say he sees it, but I promise you, it won't take more than 24 hours before something will have occurred that he is convinced that he has a cause or a purpose or something to do. Do you understand? He cannot see the land. Now, therefore... Huh?
He does.
If
he ceases to be.
If you, and in any kind of a moment, do not see the land and the beauty of his holiness, your response, because I pray that you've all visited there and seen it and felt it and knew it for a moment, your response is never a psychological one. It's never any kind of a deal. It is not, oh, I need to have a meeting. It isn't, oh, I need to go talk to that person because I've got all these bad opinions about him. No, that's about you, not about the other person. Do you understand? So, if there is something that you do, wherein you do not see the perfection and majesty of His holiness, your only response must be the abandonment of self. because the Holy Spirit has led you down deep into a cavern in your dungeon in the temple, which the dungeons aren't allowed there anymore, and you must empty that dungeon. And the reason he used something else or somebody else to show you that you have not really seen the perfection of his holiness, because you are looking at something else. You have not seen the land that is in front of you. This is everything. It's all about your constant in anything where you look and you do not see the land, the perfection. It has absolute, and it never will, it has nothing to do with what you're looking at. It has to do with you're seeing a reflection of a place of unholiness in you. Do you really hear this? And that should cause you great fear. Instead of great anger at the person or thing that's causing you to see that. Now, I pray that there will come a time, and that's my job. My job is for you to come to a place where you will never again see, and we've said before that means to put a trip on you, where you will never again see anything but the perfection of his holiness wherever you look, under all conditions. Because for you now, Christ is all and in all. The land is not just where your foot touches, the land is wherever you look. The perfection of his holiness is everywhere. Now, if you can't see that, you can't make up like you see that, because something will come at you unawares. Because God's not going to let you act like you see this. So something will jump up. Could be anything. Could be some national disaster. It could be terrorists. It could be anything that come up, and they jump up and show you that you really don't see the perfection of his holiness. You're trying to structure an Eden or a promised land after your own understanding, and you are just another friggin' hypocrite. What?
Sounds familiar.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
The evidence that it is you when things are wrong is that no matter where you look, it's wrong. For me, when I feel this isn't right, then all of a sudden nothing is right.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this over and over. And it's the easiest place to see this, of course, is Harry. I mean, he's our role model. Frank or Fred, what was his name? Fred died. Clyde died. Yeah.
Mr. Weasley spit and throw up.
And now, and Harry, of course, took the job. But Harry cannot cope.
I'm the anti-Harry.
He cannot cope. And he is convinced every single time that he sees something wrong, within a very few seconds, that one thing wrong has turned into everything wrong, and he is destined to go back to the place that he fears most, New Jersey. Because it is the place of the memories of all of the abandonment and aloneness.
When I see something wrong, I don't worry about it because I know Harry will take care of it.
But what I'm saying is that Harry is, I mean, I pray now that has served its purpose in Harry, and he will not be able, he will just be. And I pray for you mightily that there never again will be something that you cope with, because every coping is a truce. And there are no truces in the kingdom of God. You hear me? There's some other people that have truces. You can't. That's why explosiveness, just being, is the only thing required of you. That's why you exhort one another daily while it is still called today. And believe it or not, that exhortation is called love. Let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other gods or lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but now by thee only will we make mention of thy name. In other words, there is nothing that isn't him. Do you understand the majesty? By thee only will we make mention of thy name. That's only the Holy Spirit could have written that sentence. Other lords besides, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Now that's what happens by repentance. Repentance shows that the visit of God to these dead beings, these dead lords in your life, has produced repentance. And repentance has produced even the memory shall perish.
Is the by thee only, that's comparable to the other scripture, right? Because God is the one who wills and works. In other words, I can't know or worship God except by God doing it in me. That's what it's saying.
Right. And it says that I must ascribe to God as is the only, not, he's not the supreme being, he's the only being. He's not the God of the stuff I call good, he's the God of everything. He is Lord of Lords, he is everything. There is nothing that he isn't. And this is the thing, of course, that will drive people crazy, because their ideas, they've eaten so full at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they cannot possibly ascribe anything that they think is evil to God. And it's sad, because what it's done is put them above God. And so if, you know, there's that one, something I wrote a long time ago, shall love expressed in death impress you to repent? Shall the falling leaves remind you of fall from my presence? Shall the icy cold pull you to my warmth and understanding?
What shall it be? For I shall try all things to reach you. I'll call to you with each crash of thunder, pound at your heart with tears of my rain, standing as the only light within your cavern of death, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride. You may be set free and live. He's all and in all. But this is where integrity comes. You can't act like it. You've got to see it and accept it and fully and then repent of it. You can't, no more acting. You know, and don't use me as a role model. I hate that. You know, in that, I mean, you use hopefully my faith as a role model, but not how it's expressed. I mean, I think every one of you, you don't have to wonder one second about what I'm thinking about or what I'm thinking of you. If I've got some against you, you know it in an instant. Now, I'm not sure that I want the whole bunch of you acting like that.
I like to imagine they're always thinking positive thoughts.
If you were to ever think about you.
If you ever thought
about you. Well, I would like to imagine you didn't even care what I thought of you.
That's what I meant.
I thought it was. I was just clarifying that for you. But it's you can afford just to be. You don't tiptoe, as John wrote in that song. Don't tiptoe through the rules and laws. I mean, you can do that when you're on the world for a minute or two, but don't do it here. You get mad at somebody and go pout for 3 months. I mean, that's just silly.
Last night you said, "Be careful for nothing."
Amen. And I really mean it. And it sounds licentious, but just love God and have fun. Everything else is His business. Otherwise, you're just a muzzled dog, and you put the muzzle on yourself because you don't want anybody to see what you're really like. Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Everybody knows what you're really like. Anybody have any expansions on the tail? Or anybody agree or disagree? I want somebody to disagree with me, Ronnie.
Tell her it wasn't that damn TV that woke him up. Nobody home.
Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
You can't say amen in the middle of a yawn. It makes it illegal.
Amen.
Amen and I mean it.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Take a big one.
And the congregation said...